So last weekend, we opened up this offering for M1, and so far, it's going to go through this coming Friday, and so far, we've received $250,000 to this initiative, so that's awesome. Kind of the hope was that we would get to about the $500,000 mark. So if you haven't given yet, you want to give to this above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings, just go to the Sagebrush app, click there on the resources, go to giving, and just use the drop down for M1. We have started 135, or actually built buildings for 135 brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. We have five churches that we have built the permanent facilities for in Panama, and we had a mission trip that went to it the other day, and all five of those churches call themselves Sagebrush. Now, isn't that funny? You can't find Sagebrush anywhere in Panama, I'll tell you that right now. But they are so proud of being affiliated with us that that's what they've named their five campuses. Each one is Sagebrush. You will make a difference for all eternity. It's an easy thing to do. Just be generous. We're asking everybody to give one day's worth of wages to this offering. So if you want to give, we would invite you to do so. Easy to do. All right, let's get into our brand new series today called Knocking on Heaven's Door. Let's talk about prayer. Now, there are lots of people who have some strange ideas about who God is. I call them misconceptions about who God is. And when you have a misconception about who God is, that affects your prayer time with God as well. So if you have misconceptions about God, then you're going to have misconceptions about prayer, and everything's going to spiral kind of out of control. Let me share with you some misconceptions that people have about God. First off, we have the Santa Claus God. That's what a lot of people think they have when they worship the Lord. You know, God is there. He sits you on his lap. He pats you on the head. He wants to know what is it that you want? What is it that you need? And a lot of our prayers, that's what that is, right? Give me this and give me this and give me this and give me this. Remember, you would stay in line for a long, long time at a mall. I'll get there eventually. At a mall, and you would sit on Santa's lap and you would tell him a whole bunch of things that you want to. Well, some of you, that's what you think God is for. That God exists more for you than you existing for him, and that he's kind of like the genie and you've got the lamp, and so you just rub the lamp and he pops out and gives you whatever you want. You're not too concerned about God, because even though Santa Claus knows who's been naughty or nice, we all know that nobody gets coal on Christmas Day. Now, if this is your misconception as to who God is, you're probably a little frustrated with God when you don't get what you want. You're probably a little frustrated with God when he doesn't answer your prayers the way you wanted your prayers to be answered. Like, you're praying for peace, but you don't get any peace. You're praying for the cancer to go away, and the cancer just continues to spread. You're praying for God to change the circumstance, and God says, no, I'm going to be more enough in the midst of the circumstance. And what happens to a lot of people who believe in a Santa Claus God is they walk away from the faith. I mean, what's the point in praying to God if you can't get what it is that you want to get? Other people's misconception of God is what we call the police officer God. No offense to any police officers here today. No offense to any police officers watching from home. But I am sick of you hiding behind bushes. I'm going to tell you that right now. And shooting radar. Do you really have to do that? Can't you make yourself a little more known? And all the cameras that are around, sometimes you think that's what God is like, right? God's hiding behind the bushes, and he's just getting ready to take your radar, and he's going to write you a ticket. But you think to yourself, well, that's not that big of a deal. I'll just go to court. God won't show up to court. God likes to show up to court too. And so all of a sudden you're like, this is not great. And so if that's your idea of who God is, you're probably not very close to him. Because all God wants to do in your life is to slam you. All he wants to do is to catch you at something that you're doing wrong and make you feel worse than you already do. Let me give you the next one. It's to give me more God. Some of us have this misconception as to who God is. We get this from televangelists on TV. You know what I'm talking about, right? That they say, you send me a little bit of money, and you have a little bit of faith, and I will pray for you, And I will pray that God would bless your life. It's called the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. The evangelist goes something like this. Boy, faith in Jesus. If you'll send me money and a little bit of faith, I will pray over you. You want cars, I'll give you cars. You want houses, God will give you houses. And I always think to myself, if they talked to their wife like that at home, what would that look like? Like, honey, get me a Pepsi. I need a Pepsi. If you get me a Pepsi, God will give you a Diet Coke. You know what I mean? Weird stuff. Don't watch that stuff. A lot of people believe this junk. Here's the problem with the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. It's not in Scripture. Jesus was poor. The disciples were poor. You see, here's the problem with a lot of people. They follow God for the stuff of this world. See, we love what rusts. God loves what endures. We love what's temporary. God loves what's eternal. You pray for comfort, and God says, no. I'm going to put you through the storm to develop your character because he wants you to become more and more like Jesus. So if you have this idea of the give me more God, you're probably a little frustrated because he could have given you a little bit more. You feel like God's just kind of ripping you off a little bit. Let me give you the next one. Let's make a deal, God. You ever played this one? I'm sure you have. At some point in time, you got yourself in a mess and you made a deal with God. You said, God, I'll do this, that, and the other. And if I do this, that, and the other, you get me out of this mess, right? You said something like, hey, God, I'll start reading my Bible. I'll start praying. I'll even start telling people about you. I'll start going to church more often. And in return, I expect you to, you know, do some things for me. If you're married, you want your marriage to be great. If you got kids, you want God to protect your children, right? If you have a job, you want it to be the best job ever. If you're single, you're looking for a smoking hot person, so you're counting on God to bring somebody smoking hot into your life. But what do? When you do your end of it, you start reading the Bible, you start praying, you start sharing, you start giving, you start going to church, but God doesn't bring the smoking hot person. They're just simmering. They're not smoking hot. Well, you get mad, you get frustrated because you did your part. God should have done his part. Do you see how messed up this can get us? I'll give you one more. The can't do enough to please him, God. A lot of us live in this reality. You think you can't do enough to please God because you think God's love for you is based upon your performance. And so if you pray a lot and you read your Bible a lot, then God's proud of you. But if you start to slack a little bit, you miss a day or two, you fall back into that same sin or that same temptation, then God looks at you and he's disappointed with you and he begins to pull back his love from you. Think about all the things that we just went through, all the different misconceptions of God. Which one would you say you fall prey to the most? I'll be honest, the one for me is the can't do enough to please him, God. I struggled with that for many years of my life. I honestly believed that God's love for me was based upon my performance. So I read the Bible, I prayed, I sought God, I tried to live a holy life as best I could, but I never felt like I had accomplished it. I always felt like God was disappointed in me. I always felt like there was a little more that I could do. And so it was this moving target that was there. And if this is your concept of who God is, you're probably not very close to him, because why would you want to be close to somebody who's never pleased with you, who would tell you that your best efforts simply aren't good enough? You see how this can get messed up? And that affects our prayer life as well. So Jesus doesn't want this for us. Jesus wants to make certain that we understand who God the Father really is. And he wants us to understand how it is that God the Father wants us to approach him through prayer. So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Let's look at it. He says, ask. This is Jesus talking. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? All right, let's start with the second paragraph first, and then we'll get back to the first paragraph. He starts off and says, which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? All right, in Palestine, the terrain was covered in stones and small little stones. The bread that they're talking about aren't loaves of bread like we have today. They're just cakes of bread, small little cakes of bread. So imagine a child comes up to the dad, says, hey, dad, I would like to have some bread. And the dad picks up a stone that looks like a cake of bread, hands it to the kid and said, munch on that. Now, that would never happen. No parent would ever do that. And he uses the analogy, he says, all right, let's say your kid comes up to you and says, hey, could I have a fish from your catch? So right there in Palestine, there's a lot of people that were fishermen. And so they would put their nets into the ground, they would bring a little water, and they'd bring the nets up, and they would catch a combination of fish and water snakes. So your kid comes up to you, and they say, hey, I would really like to have a fish from your catch. And you say, you can have this snake. Now, not one parent would ever do that unless you're from Arkansas. And then I think I can see that happening in that situation, right? He continues. You would never do that. You'd never give him a snake. You'd never give him a rock. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, what in the world does he mean by this? Well, I can't speak for you, so I'll just speak for me. I'm evil. There's nothing good in me. I lie, I lust, I sin, I gossiped. And don't look at me all judgmental, because you're more messed up than I am, to be honest. Hey, there's no one good. There's only one. And that's God. It's the only one. So if you're counting on your goodness, once again, to get you to heaven, you're not going to get to heaven based on your goodness. You're going to get to heaven based on his goodness. Well, here's his point. Here you are, evil, wicked, sinners, and yet you want what's best for your kids. You'd sacrifice anything for your kids. You put your kids' needs ahead of your own needs. You would die for your kids. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus goes beyond just saying he'd die for us. He actually does. He dies on a cross. 3 days later, he rises again from the dead. And Jesus didn't come to slam you. He didn't come to condemn you. Look at this, John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What does that mean? It means he's for you. He's for you in every possible way. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to have an abundant life on this earth, a life that matters, a life of significance, a life that counts. And he's eager. I want you to get this. He's eager to hear your prayers. And he's eager to intervene into your life. I mean, here we are in our sinful state, and we would want nothing but the very best for our children, but in our depraved minds, we think God wouldn't want the same thing for us, and he's perfect. Perfect love, perfect holiness, perfect wisdom. Jesus says he's eager to answer your prayer. So how in the world are we supposed to pray? Well, let's go back to the first paragraph, all right? He says, first off, we should ask. The word ask is mentioned 5 times in 4 verses. He says, ask. Tell him what's going on. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Ask. So why don't we? Why is it that the average Christian spends about 3 minutes a day in prayer? Why aren't we constantly talking to God throughout the day? Why aren't we shooting up little sentence prayers? Why aren't we coming before him and casting all of our cares upon him because he cares so much for us? What in the world's wrong with us? Why aren't we asking? Well, I thought about that for a long time this week, and I thought, I think it's pride. I don't want to bother God. You ever had that feeling? I don't want to bother God. This isn't that big of a deal. I can handle it myself. I'll take care of this myself. So what do? We don't ask God for help because we think we can handle it. We can figure this out on our own. And God's got bigger things to do than to deal with us. Do you know who hasn't had any problem at all asking for something? It's those kids in your home. Right? They ask all the time. Little sinners, you keep feeding them. That's what they're going to keep doing. They come up to you and they ask for this and they ask for that. And they start when they're very, very young. I mean, when they're able to start saying words, they start telling you what to do and where to go, don't they? I mean, my granddaughter wakes up and she says, show, show, show. She wants them to put a show on the TV. And then she says, Passy, Passy, Passy. So everybody's scrambling around looking for the pacifier. Then she says, Yogi, Yogi, not Yogi Bear, yogurt. That's what she wants. Shove a yogurt in that kid's mouth, I tell you what. She didn't have any problem asking. Why? Because she knows she's powerless. She didn't have any resources. She didn't have a job, not yet. She didn't have any money. No way to take care of her own needs. So what is she doing? She's trusting in her mom and dad to provide for her. She's trusting her mom and dad to know what's best for her life. Years ago, my youngest daughter, Cammy, came to me and she said she wanted a guitar for Christmas. I did not want to get her a guitar for Christmas. The thought of her being back in her bedroom, pounding on that guitar and singing off key was not a thing that I really wanted to enjoy day after day after day. And so she showed me this guitar at Target and she said, I really want this guitar. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And I thought she would forget about it. Well, a couple of weeks went by. We went back to Target, and she was walking by me in the toy aisle, and there enough was that guitar again. And she said, oh, Daddy, please, 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 please get me that guitar for Christmas. And I said, I don't know about that, man. I mean, you gotta promise me that if we get you a guitar, that you'll practice that guitar, that will, you know, you'll take some lessons, you'll practice 15 to 30 minutes every single day. I mean, it's a big commitment. Are you sure you want to do that? She said, oh, yeah, Dad. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can count on me, Dad. I'll keep my word. I'll do it. I said, well, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Well, a couple more weeks go by, and we're getting really close to Christmas at this point in time, and so we're coming by, and they're at that toy aisle. Why I kept going back there, I do not know. And there was that guitar. And she said, Dad, their guitar is still here. And I said, Cammy, the reason the guitar is still here is because no one's stupid enough to buy that guitar. She said, I just want that guitar, Dad. That's all they want. So if you just give me the guitar, I'll never ask for anything ever again. Little liar, I know better than that. I said, we'll see. She just kept asking. What she didn't know was that her mom and I had been saving some money. But we weren't going to buy her a cheap $30 guitar at Target. No, we went down to an actual music store that sells actual guitars, and we got her a baby Taylor guitar. And when she opened that up, she was so excited. Here's the deal. You might be one ask away. Just one ask away from seeing whatever miracle you want to see actually happen. One ask away from God doing the divine in your very presence. Come on, every single one of us has seen God do miracles in our life. You might just be one ask away. And then he says this, he says, seek. Do you see the intensity increase with each word? He says, ask, and then he says, seek. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a grandpa, and I don't look like I'm a grandpa, and I appreciate that. I got married when I was 10, so I'm a grandpa, and I have two grandchildren. I have a grandson. And I have a granddaughter. My oldest daughter is pregnant right now, and she's going to give birth in just a couple of weeks in September, first part of September. Yeah, isn't that awesome? So cool. It's going to be my third grandchild, and that's going to be a girl. It's going to be another girl. That's what we're going to have. And then my middle daughter, Hannah, you might not know this, she's pregnant also, and she is giving birth in January. Yeah, I'm excited about that. It's a girl. So I got my grandson. Did I tell you about my grandson? So the other day, my grandson was over at the house, and he said, hey, Pawpaw. He calls me Pawpaw. He says, hey, Pawpaw, let's, you want to play hide and seek? And she's 3 years old. And I'm like, okay, you want to play hide and seek? He says, yeah. He said, you count, I'll go hide. I said, okay, so I did. So I counted to 10, and I'm counting right by the refrigerator. And I turn around, and he's sitting at the kitchen table. And he's doing this. Like, he's really hidden himself really well. So it wasn't very hard to find him. So, I see you at the kitchen table. So he says, my turn. So he said, all right, you're going to count to 10. I'm going to go hide. He said, yeah, I'll count to 10. Go hide. I said, sounds great. So he counts to 10. I go hide. He never comes. Never comes. I think he started eating a banana is what I think happened. Saw a banana on the counter and said, it's banana time. I think that's what took place. So here's my question. Are you seeking God like my grandson sought me? You asking? You seeking? I want to challenge you with something that maybe you've never thought about before. I want you to stop seeking an answer, and I want you to start seeking God. Now, here's why. We all think we know what's best when we come to God and we make our request. But let's be honest, we don't always know what's best. But He does. So what if, rather than telling Him what we want Him to do, we make ourselves available to do what He wants us to do? That we would seek Him. That we would pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on this earth in our life as it's already being done in heaven. What if we sought Him rather than seeking an answer? I love Psalm 37, verse 4. It says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, you understand the promise of that verse of Scripture? You delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It means He will change your heart to reflect His heart. So you'd be so busy pleasing Him, putting Him first, seeking Him, doing what He would have you to do, and all of a sudden your priorities and your wants and your needs will line up to His priorities, wants, and needs for your life as well. Many of us have never even thought about praying like this before. If you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask Him for? Some of us, it would be a nicer car or a nicer home, a bigger bank account, a better job, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend. David answered that question in Psalm 27. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. That's what he sought after. That's what he wanted more than anything else. And David was jacked up. I don't know if you know that. But God still said, that's a man after my own heart. That gives me hope. That should give you hope. Because as jacked up as you are, you can still be a person after God's own heart. If one thing you would ask, and this is what you would seek, that you would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. So what's he say? He says, ask. And then he says, seek. And now he says, knock. Now, I get the mental picture of somebody who's knocking on the door and they just won't go away. It's like a solar salesman has come and they won't. You know what I'm talking about? And it's obnoxious. They just keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. It's the idea of someone who prays and prays and prays and prays and prays and prays and won't quit. They persevere. There's no stopping them. And they're trusting God as they're knocking on the door, that if the door is supposed to be shut, that they trust that that's a good thing. And if the door opens up, that's good too. They just know it's their job to knock. I read a story this past week about a guy named George McCluskey. George McCluskey was a guy who was a real prayer warrior. He had five friends that he desperately wanted to see come to know Jesus as the leader and forgiver of their life. So he began to pray for them every single day, asking seeking, knocking on the door of heaven, asking for these miracles to occur with his five friends. He prayed and prayed and prayed every single day. 18 months went by, and the first guy finally gave his life to Jesus Christ 18 months later. He continued to pray day after day after day. 5 more years went by, and his second friend out of the 5 gave his life to Jesus Christ. He kept praying. 6 more years passed by, and his third friend finally gave his life over to Jesus Christ. 2 friends to go. He kept praying every single day. And in year 52, from when he started, his last 2 friends finally gave their lives over to Jesus Christ. We live in an instant society, don't we? We want everything to be instant. We got high-speed internet. We want Amazon to deliver our packages same day. We eat fast food not because it's good food, but because it's fast food. So we think that's the way it should be with prayer. That we should shoot up a prayer and God should immediately answer because, after all, we've got the lamp. He's the genie and his job is to make all of our wishes come true. No. Prayer is about a relationship with God. And prayer is not about changing the mind of God. Prayer is about changing you. See, some of us, we've spent our whole lives in our prayer time trying to change the mind of God to get him to do what we want him to do, when all along we should have been saying, Lord, change me. Move me. Lead me where you want me to go. Back in 2019, we passed out carabiners. Some of you guys were around for that. It was right before COVID. It was a pretty cool idea. I'd gotten it from a friend of mine in another church in Mississippi. They had done this. They'd given everybody a carabiner, and they said, we want every person to be praying about one life that they could impact. And so we wanted you to use this back in the day in 2019 as your keychain. And so every time you pull out your keys, you'd be reminded to pray for that one life, that one person that God has set on your heart for heaven, because you love them, because you believe there's a heaven and a hell and people really are going to go to one place or the other. Well, you guys took those carabiners and you took it so seriously, and you started praying intentional prayers, and all of a sudden you start having opportunities to share Jesus and invite people to come to church. And what we ask you to do is that when your friend finally gave their life to Jesus, that you would come back and you would drop the carabiner off in the lobby, and then we would make a chain of carabiners and we would see what God has done over the course of a year. And we were cooking like kerosene. I mean, people were giving their lives to Christ left and right. People were getting baptized. People were celebrating. It was so very exciting. Well, then COVID happened, and we couldn't even meet for several months. And this kind of went to the wayside for a lot of people. But it didn't go to the wayside for one mom. About 8 months ago, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and he said, hey, my wife has been praying for our daughter for 5 years since you first gave those carabiners out. And this past week, she gave her life to Jesus. He said, would you schedule a baptism for her during the week? She's kind of introverted. And I said, well, absolutely. We do that from time to time. If you're an introvert, you don't want to be in front of 2,000 people. You're afraid boogers are going to come out of your nose. I get that. We baptize people any place, anytime, anywhere. If they're followers of Jesus Christ, we'll baptize you. So it was during the week, and I came in, and I baptized that sweet young woman. Right over here, that mom handed me this carabiner, battered and worn. And she said, I don't know if we're doing these anymore, but I wanted to turn mine in because God's answered my prayer. So last time I checked the news, there's not a worldwide virus that's going on, and I just thought maybe we should try this again. So on your way in, hopefully you got a carabiner. If you didn't, stop by the information center on the way out. I want this to be your new keychain, and I want you to think about one person in your life that you could impact. And every time you pull out your keys to get in your house, get in your car, Just say a short prayer for them. Pray that God would reveal himself to them. Pray that God would use you to be a difference maker. Pray that you'd have the courage to build even stronger relationship with them to where you could invite them to come to church and maybe one day even share the difference Jesus could make. So we've got a new thing out in the lobby of all of our campuses. And for Belize, it's coming in just a few weeks. You're going to get your carabiners and you're going to have it out in your lobby as well. And every time somebody gives their life to Christ, we want to put a chain reaction together. There's a tube there. Just drop your carabiner in the tube and we'll start adding the chain and looking what God can do. Hey, the road is long. Don't stop praying. The night is dark. Don't stop praying. Ask. Seek his face and knock. Don't give up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love your word. It just encourages me so much to know that you love us that much. That even though we're evil and would give good gifts to our kids, how much more so would you want to give good gifts to us? And then you tell us that you want to hear from us. That's incredible. I mean, who are we that we even get to approach your throne of grace? And yet you're eager to hear us, eager to move on our behalf. And we trust that you know what is best. It's not our job to decide what the outcome should be. That's yours. Help us to be faithful. May we come to you this next week and ask like we never have before. Seek you like we never have before. And to knock day after day, month after month, year after year. Lord, I pray for these carabiners that have been passed out, that every single one of them one day would return to this place. And that would be one more soul saved by your grace. Help us, Lord, to never stop praying. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.